So we have a couple new guests coming up here, that two people that I've never chatted to before, podcast-wise or on the show. I have co-hosted the show. In fact, I think I've hosted this show in the past. Drew, you maybe you could call in, Drew, and remind me. But hopefully he's fast asleep by now. But anyway, we do think that he may be listening somewhere overseas. We have David Trotter and Trip Fuller coming up. They're producer and producers and co-star of the film The Road to Edmund. They are going to join us to talk about their new film. Check it out online if you're sitting around and looking at a screen right now, or you've got your device, The Road to Edmund, and it's with an O, Edmund, EDMOND.com. You can find out a little bit more about that there. Have we got them on the line? Or are we all... We've got David on the line, but we're just waiting for Trip to pick up. I'm guessing that Trip's on a landline somewhere. He's got like an old rotary dial phone. That's going to be my guess. Have you seen the film by any chance, Shauna?
It's
available online, and it's I actually just watched it last night, and I can't wait to get into it with these guys. Trevor's still here with us as well, co-hosting this interview with me as we dive in with David and Trip. Have you seen the film?
I did see the film.
Yeah, and we never talked about what the big HP means. You're big Hollywood producer, isn't it?
More importantly than that, when I was doing my doctoral work down in California, Trip was the second reader on my dissertation.
Okay, so it's all connected.
So he got to grill me with questions.
Part of the reason we asked you to stay.
I can't wait for this moment.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So I think we may have them on the line. So what, Trip, you know Trip, he says he's a proud nerd. So, but I think he makes the distinction by saying something like he's not just a Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica nerd. I think I'm a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, Trip would be more of a theology nerd.
He's a theology nerd. Okay. Capital N or small n?
I'm going to go capital.
Okay.
I mean, it was interesting when Peter Enns was talking, he said, you know, I'm a nerd, but not everybody's a nerd.
Yeah.
Trip would be, he and Pete would talk and talk and talk.
Oh, that's great. Nerd. So David, Trip, have we got you on the line? And if we do, guys, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. This is David.
This is Trip.
We've got David and Trip. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Where are you both calling in from today?
I'm calling from Orange County, California.
I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. I just finished a 5-year-old fairy birthday party.
Wow. And were you doing the magic at it or the balloon animals, Trip? I'm interested.
Well, I attached tutus and wings to about 14 little girls and successfully ran a pinata. No injuries.
No injuries. After having seen now the Road to Edmund, I'm actually kind of surprised there were no injuries, Trip.
I know. I'm pretty impressed with myself.
So, David,
were they beating a fairy pinata, Trip?
Oh yeah, we decapitated a fairy by having 14 little 5-year-old girl fairies hit it.
That's creepy.
Trip, I think you should make a note that could be the title of your autobiography one day. I decapitated a fairy. it's a good place to start. So, David, tell us a little bit about the film that Trip co-stars in, The Road to Edmund. And I'm dying to know, did you really only harm 2 tilapia?
That is all that was harmed in terms of animal life. That is true.
I don't think I've ever seen that note in a series of credits before, by the way. So good for you guys. And by the way, congratulations on the film. It's going to create a whole lot of conversation and a whole lot of laughter. I would imagine those would have been two of your goals for the film.
That is true. That is true. The goal for The Road to Edmund was to stir up conversation, specifically helping people that are questioning faith, sexuality, and Jesus. And so there are a lot of people like myself. I was a pastor for over 10 years, had a lot of questions about those topics, but didn't feel like I was in a safe place because my job was on the line if I was kind of openly questioning those things or even behind the doors. And so we wanted to create a film that would utilize humor and playfulness in order to allow people to ask those questions and to wrestle with those things. And we had the film... The film's been done for a couple months. We've had over 60 showings around the world through churches and house parties and all of that. It's just a grassroots effort. And I know you mentioned the road to edmund.com. I'm just going to be honest. right up front, we have a URL where we're doing a promotion where people can pay whatever they want to watch it between Christmas and New Year's. The URL happens to be JesusLovesOurMovie.com. So we have heard that. The URL is live. I mean, don't you believe that, right? I mean, we're going public with that, JesusLovesOurMovie.com.
Oh, yeah, JesusLovesOurMovie.com. Like, I mean, if Jesus was our movie's mommy, that's how much Jesus loves our movie.
So, I mean, I've got so many questions, and I'm trying to figure out what my favorite line of yours, Trip, in the film was. And one of them for sure was, think of how hot and sweaty you're going to get without me. I think that was one of my favorite lines. after you ran over the guy's bike, which is a classic, by the way. So I'm pretty sure I read, and a mutual friend and somebody you know, Trevor Brisbane, who's here with me in the studio today, sent me a note with a review of your film, and I think it's been called Antichrist Propaganda. Am I right about that?
I have heard this, that the counterculture mommy blogger was very anti our film. She even brought her pastors to view it, and she spotted. And I'm just taking her word for it because she clearly wouldn't lie. She saw the spirit of homosexuality in the theater when we were doing it and came to this conclusion that this movie is not only vile, offensive, includes a lot of upper body male nudity, but it has a hidden satanic agenda to convince everyone that God loves everybody no matter who you are. And I was like, I'm Satan.
Was that on your t-shirt?
I'm just saying, if Satan, not God, is the one who loves everybody, then I should just switch teams. Now, I imagine that means that Jesus is going to, but one of the biggest predicaments for Christians is that they imagine God isn't even as nice as his kid, and that's depressing.
You talked at one point about, and I'd love to talk about that, those spirits that apparently were apparent, but in the film, there's this idea of the pitch. You know, the young pastor has to give you a pitch, and then you end up kind of giving him a pitch. And isn't that sort of what the film really is all about? It's this road movie and a series of pitches, of conversations, of questions. You say at one point, what if holiness is the reflection of God's love? And it's your sort of comical, over the top, absurd almost, you know, Seth Rogen-like prophetic voice that speaks that into this film. I mean, is that kind of what David, Tripp, whoever, you're hoping for the film? Don't we all kind of need a Larry in our lives?
Well, I mean, I think so. That's why we made it, was because we wanted people to be pushed. Like, some people need to be a little pushed. Some people are sitting in the pews and going, 6 days out of the week, I am like inclusive and loving toward everyone. And this one day of the week, I feel like I have to kind of set that aside to come into a church that doesn't believe that. And I set that aside. Why can't I be that way 7 days a week? What's going on with those issues? And so we wanted to create a film that allowed pastors to be able to utilize the film to kind of nudge their congregations forward, and vice versa. Some people in the congregation, they go, man, I want my pastor to see this because I want us to be talking about this, and we don't have a safe place to talk about it. So,
hey guys, this is Trev. Loved the film, really enjoyed it. One of the things that I love that you guys did is you put sort of this evangelical youth pastor in dialogue with Tripp, who is or Tripp's character Larry, who is this former mainline pastor. And one of the things that kind of comes out is that, Larry helps Cleo just kind of discover that there is so much more. There's a bigger way. There's a more generous way, whatever you want to call it. I think for a lot of people who've been in the evangelical camp for a while, we've always sort of demonized mainline, progressive, you know, liberal.
Without a doubt.
Right? And so how do we make sure that we don't do it the other way? How do we make sure that those who are sort of kind of coming out of evangelicalism, when they watch this film, don't kind of say, see, look, and just say, watch that scene again. What's your advice to those sort of coming out of evangelicalism as they watch this with their mainline friends?
Well, I guess the biggest piece of advice, and it goes both ways, is that if we truly trust that at the deepest of our being, we're affirmed by God because of who God is as revealed in Christ, then you're not your ideas. Like, ultimately, you're not your ideas. And they may change, they may fluctuate, you may hold them confidently, you may doubt, and all that kind of thing. And one of the things we worked hard in the film to do is for Cleo, the youth minister, who's on a two-week timeout from his church to pray and decide if he should keep his job and help this girl that came out to him who he said she was loved, help get her to Christian counseling. They're in their relationship, his ideas are up for grabs. Like, and Larry gives his ideas a hard time, but he doesn't give Cleo a hard time. In fact, Cleo is an evangelical who found Christ in that setting, felt a call to ministry to serve, and is sitting there going, I think what Jesus really wants in this situation is X. My church wants me to do Y, and he's wrestling with it. And so I think it's, debating ideas, wrestling with ideas, being honest about them is one thing, but let's not turn people into their conclusions at one moment or another, because they may change over time. And if you're an evangelical and you're watching the movie and wrestling with it, I hope you see that Larry's character gives Cleo's character a hard time and makes jokes about it, but it's the ideas. It's not his personhood. In fact, they become friends, and vice versa. Like, you don't hear Cleo at the end say, oh, I'm getting rid of all these doctrines and beliefs or whatever because I'm friends with you now, Larry. Friendship and recognizing the humanity beneath the ideas we may hold at one time, I think, is an important feature of the gospel. And you can just see that in just how diverse Jesus' own disciples are. And I know Trevor knows this just because of his own story, and he talked a little bit about it earlier. But one of the greatest gifts you can give somebody is a friendship that sticks through questions. And so if you're a friend that's watching the film or have a friend wrestling with it, the greatest gift you can give them is letting them be honest. And sometimes honesty means doubting something they may come back to or shaking their fist at God because they have loss and pain, which is another one of the themes that gets wrestled with in the movie. If just so happens that you get stuck for 3 days in a van down by a river with a guy as handsome as my character, then imagine the Lord can work.
And a giant, is it paper mache fish? Or it's, I don't know what it is, but it's looking pretty creepy.
Oh, those were real tilapia. Dave talked a pet store into giving him the tilapia that were for their display because he was giving them a new home, and then the new home happened to be that stick.
Right. Well, I was actually referring to the big giant blue fish where near the end of the whale. Sorry, it's the whale. Yeah, where you're telling the story about your dad and trying not to give too much away about the film here, but you guys sit down on the edge of the pond and beside this big creepy blue fish.
That is a creepy blue fish.
So can you guys talk to me a little bit about the writing? And I mean, it looks like you had so much fun on this film and making this film. It must have been a blast. And to tell me a little bit about that, the production of it. How much of it was actually scripted? How much of it was sort of in the moment? Yeah, that's what a great line. That's got to stay in.
So in March, around March, I think it was, maybe April 2017 last year, I had already finished three feature-length documentaries, and I wanted to kind of stretch my wings and do my first narrative scripted feature film. And so I came to Trip with a storyline, which is basically the storyline that you see in The Road to Edmund, minus the fleshing out of the Larry character. And I pitched him the idea of, what if we did this film where probably 25-30% of the story arc is in place, but we do a lot of it improvised, because it would, number one, fast forward through the script writing process. Number two, it would be a heck of a lot of fun. And three, I came up with the idea specifically for Trip Floor and Nathaniel Welch because I knew of their friendship and their relationship, and then my friendship with them. I knew that they could pull it off. And so then Trip and I began to work on the story together, and Trip brought, just all these ideas and, craziness. And so we, from a distance, came up with every location that you saw ahead of time. Never went to those places in Colorado or Oklahoma until we were actually on the ground. And the only reason why we filmed in those two states was because Troop was doing an event called Theology Beer Camp one weekend in Denver, and we filmed the week after that event. And then he did the same event in Oklahoma City, and we filmed the week after that event. So we filmed for basically 12 days in August of 2017, and did it on a $30,000 budget total for the whole film. And wow. So as people watch it, people, you know, I want them to know, because everybody who watches it said they compare it to a Hollywood movie. That's just a natural thing, because we go to the theaters, we watch Hollywood movies, anything we see, we compare it to that. And, you know, people point out it's, you know, flaws or rough points or whatever. And we're like, yeah. And then we, you know, we tell them we made it for like 30 grand. And they're like, no way. There's no possible way you did that. And it was a great crew. There was a crew of four of us. And then Nathaniel and Tripp. And so it's basically six of us who hustled with a lot of extras and made it happen. So there's a lot. Let's just say Tripp likes to talk, and there's a lot of things on the cutting room floor.
I bet there is. Are there going to be extras, director's commentary on the DVD? Do we even really do DVDs anymore? I guess it's downloads and Blu-rays, I suppose. But yeah, are you going to add any of that? Will people be able to get to some of that footage? Or at least those...
It's just too painful, man.
It's too painful. Did you guys spend most of that $30,000, by the way, on the craft budget? Was that where you blew your budget?
The craft budget was
part of it on a horse.
part of it on a horse and two tilapia.
Yeah, I know. And the horse isn't even in the movie because he tried to kill me. but... there's some really high quality, too offensive to put in the film jokes. And yeah, I mean, I really think that we should probably pay the film off first. But, you know, when we find that one person with a very large check because the sweet Lord Jesus moved in their heart, then Dave will pay someone else to go pull out all the funny parts. You know the scene where I rip a nasty in the dark right on Nathan's head?
I do know the scene quite well.
I fart right on his head. Yeah, well, I farted on his head like four or five times, and I really feel like that's like a high quality moment to share with like all my middle school boys.
I'm with you on that trip. It's quite a moment. It really drew me in. Yeah. Yeah, the empathy I felt for your character at that moment was astounding. Hey guys, we're gonna have to wrap it up in a couple of minutes. But how do people get to see the film? Is it on the site? Can they download it on iTunes? Where can we find it?
We're trying to find a distributor right now. I was at American Film Market last week. We're trying to get international distribution. We don't want to just toss it up on iTunes or Amazon because, frankly, we need to pay back our investors. We have two investors that we got to get that money back to. And so one of the ways that we're trying to do that is through a pay-what-you-want streaming of the film from Christmas morning all the way through New Year's night. And people can sign up right now and reserve their spot at, no joking, JesusLovesOurMovie.com. JesusLovesOurMovie.com, and you don't have to pay anything, or you can pay as much as you want. And starting on Christmas morning, then the film will be available for you. You can watch it as many times as you want for a whole week.
Very cool. JesusLovesOurMovie.com. And it's kind of, it sort of sounds kind of crowdfunding, but with a bit of a twist.
Yeah.
Well, after we found out that some people experienced the film as the work of the Antichrist, and others left crying. Like the first time we screened it, there was a grandmother who had not seen her granddaughter in 3 years since her dad kicked her out of the family when she came out, and the grandmother said she'd go watch the movie with her because it was screened in a church. And after it, they're like crying, they've reconciled. Her grandmother's like, I'm gonna be by my granddaughter no matter what. Like, you get a beautiful moment like that. And then others that think we work for Satan. And so our idea was, we want anyone that can watch it and could watch it to watch it. And if you get done and want to support the film, then you could donate whatever you want. If you get done and you're like, this is of the devil, then, you know, we don't want to coerce you to have you know invested your hard-earned mammon in the work of the work of the evil one.
You know, Trip, there's a moment where Larry is responding to a text that you kind of sent but kind of didn't. You were a part of it, and you make a comment something like, you would hate for your religious convictions to cost you anything. And I thought it was a really beautiful moment in so many ways, because, I mean, I always, you know, when I have conversations, when I'm out for an evening or I'm doing a podcast, by the way, I haven't even pushed my own podcast today, Shauna, facetofacelive.ca. Check it out, folks, when you can. We just published our 404th interview this week, The Silence of Others. When I have a conversation with somebody, I'm looking for threads. This idea of cost, this idea of asking questions and being uncomfortable, is that a thread for you guys, would you say, in the film, but what you're hoping people take away as well?
Yeah, I it is for me, and I'll let Dave say more. I'll just say that one of the reasons I made the film is through my podcast that I do, and I'm sure you've had this experience. When people listen to you, they'll share with you because they listen to you each week. Like you're their minister or their friend. And I know so many leaders in churches who, if you ask them off the record, will tell you that that they're open and affirming to LGBTQ plus people, that they want to be allies. And then they're like, but I need my health insurance or whatever.
Right.
I need to keep my job or whatnot. And so one of the reasons I want to make this film is it's really hard to go Bible verse by Bible verse and say, see, the Bible actually doesn't talk about same-sex marriage. Or to look at people when, in the abstract, and debate same-sex marriage or gay participation in the church. In the movie, you get to know humans and stories. And I think that a whole lot more Christians are actually open to affirming the full humanity of whoever's in front of them than there are Christians who go to churches that do. And so I wanted to challenge those who are in leadership to actually lead in helping the church become a better reflection of the love and welcome of God. And I wanted those who are in pews or in youth groups or have been kicked out of the church because of how they've been harmed and shamed because of who they are by the church to know that, well, the ministers that help make this movie are also laughing hysterically at the weirdness of that. And we want to say that's not actually reflective of the God we know.
I think I've got so many favorite lines from the film, Trip. The other one, I think I'm old school. I got a map is definitely another one of my faves. Thanks to you both for joining us today on the Drew Marshall Show, talking about The Road to Edmund. If you want to find out more about the film, JesusLovesOurMovie.com. You can watch it there. Help me out here, guys. Between Christmas and New Year's, you can donate to the film, to the cause, to the movie, and continue the conversation. Thanks for your time today, Trip and David. I really appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks for letting us be with you.
It was awesome. And you got to remember, Trevor's a doctor now. He's a doctor.
I know. It's always hard to believe. Every time I shake his hand, I get a little. It's a bit of a moment.
I know. But when you're in the presence,
when you're in the presence, nice
of the divine, a doctor of the divine. Oh, you just got to say you just got to say thank you a lot.
My kids now, whenever they want $20, they'll say, "Reverend Dr. Trevor, can I borrow $20?" They manipulate it, Trip.
Well, thank y'all so much for hanging out on the radio
Canada.
The number one radio show in all of the land up north.
Thanks, Trip. Really appreciate it. Look forward to our next conversation.